Power paddle stools in the harbor. The new ones are an issue. And I know that Mooney's and the mayor on top of that. People are drawing power, but they're still stuck at zero, so no kilowatt hours are being drawn. So we need to get that fixed, and we've talked with the electric contractor about that, about to get that fixed as soon as we can. Sandpoint Road rehabilitation left. The city awarded a design contract to HDR to start that process for the roughly 2 miles of the Sandpoint Road paving. HDR was out here the last 2 days, and I walked the section of road with them yesterday. They have a pretty good idea of what that's going to take to get that done, and we're hoping to have hit the construction later this summer, and that paving will be done before the summer is over. Geotech will be out in a couple weeks to meet with Dave and Public Works. the city is in with the legislature to ask for money for the dock repair and extending water and sewer out to the new harbor. So the mayor and I will be in Juneau next week meeting with legislators and different commissioners and folks to see if we can get something for one of those projects. I've met with TDX lately and the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to start getting a better idea of the energy situation, energy projects in the city, and I hope to start a constructive relationship with TDX. I'm the new guy. They have a new guy. Maybe we can find do some positive things going forward in the future with TDX Power. I've met with Tel Alaska a couple times. They're accessing the wiring in the building for both the network, the internet, and the phone system, and they'll have a proposal to us about Bob Burnett's kind of working something up to see what it might take to modernize some of the wiring here, and I think that would help the police station and the folks in the building. Let's see, insurance, we'll have quotes coming soon. Finances, Krista and I have met a few times and with the auditor to go over the budget. You'll see a budget revision in today's meeting. Mayor and I attended Swampscene last week. That was a good few days, a good chance to meet and talk with other communities. They're going through the same issues, whether it's road, somebody screwed up a road or the drug issues or energy issues, and so that was a good few days of a conference. And we got to meet with DOT and URS and R&M and the attorney and a few others. We're going to try to fix the website tomorrow. We're going to do a little bit of training with the former clerk, and the last item I have in here is just a few different tablets, iPads, Samsung, a few different versions priced out if the council wants to move in that direction electronically and move from paper packets to electronic. I'd be happy to discuss that if necessary. But that's my report.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Council have any comments or questions for Andy? Shirley, how are you hearing us? Fine?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Moving on, I can just give a short update on some of the activities in the harbor. We've got Magone finally made it in. They're in the process of repairing the Newport Harbor. They got in Sunday afternoon, and they started yesterday working in the harbor, so they figure it's going to be a 7 to 10 day project. Matt from URS came in Monday. We did meet with him. We had a chance to get onto the harbor, both the harbor master and I. We walked both sections of the floor, and there was a lot of noticeable discrepancies in the harbor. We have a punch list. We've been working on that. And he has assured us that URS will be addressing those issues. We had a very nice meeting with him. We did have an issue with the engine in our travel lift. I can probably let Mooney probably explain that a little bit better, but I know we did order a new engine for the travel lift, and that's on order. Travel lift isn't down, but I'll let Mooney talk about that after. Tundra Plumbing has been putting our water system in for us. They're getting pretty close. I think he said maybe Saturday he should be getting ready to close up part of his project. Andy and I did meet with EOS and Anchorage. We spent a couple hours meeting with him in discussion heavily upon the harbor and all the things that had taken place in the harbor, trying to finalize the harbor and make sure that there's solid closure in the harbor. Of course, we didn't get a chance to talk at the workshop this afternoon with the East representative. She'll be giving her presentation under new business. And with that in mind, Mike?
Yes.
And also, maybe you can introduce Eric also, please.
You bet. I'd like to introduce our officer, Eric Tupper. He's a new officer with the Sandpoint Police Department. Officer Tupper was nice enough to do undercover work for us before he shaved off his long hair and his beard, and we really appreciate him doing that for our community to help address some of the drug problems. So I do apologize to the mayor and the assembly for being late. I got tied up in a search that took longer than we expected, so my apologies. But I'd like to, at this time, quickly go over the chief's memorandum. There's three pages. I'll just hit the highlights. On page one, we'd like to give out a shout-out of appreciation to our dispatchers, Christine and Jesse, for helping us monitor the 911 phones 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. That's a vital part of our mission, and we really appreciate them being available. On the second page, some of the highlights, we're particularly concerned about the felonies that have occurred over the past month, including the felony assaults. And we are actively investigating those cases. And then on the last page, we would like to express our appreciation for EMS and all the personnel that volunteer their time on EMS. During February, they had six EMS calls, with one was CPR administered, and one requiring use of the basket stretcher for a patient extrication from a fishing vessel. I know our EMS personnel really appreciate all the hard work that our fishermen do in the community. I apologize, I do need to back up one page. We did have a visit from the Office of Homeland Security. Three of their personnel flew down and helped us understand how to file some of the paperwork necessary for planning and potential funding opportunities. I think that's pretty much it for our presentation. Did anybody have any questions for me?
Questions or comments, Mike? Thanks, Mike. Welcome aboard, Officer Tupper.
Thank you.
Okay, moving down to Public Works. Dave is
under the weather.
Not here this evening, but Dennis will be filling in for him. Dennis, I'll let you.
I won't do the fire department one, but I'll do public works. Past month, they've been doing a lot of ditching. Continued work on the Shumigan pad. We're at a standstill until the pots get removed, and then we can finish that up. As some of you know, we've torn out the stairs for Apartment Hill and replaced it with a gravel path. We've been doing some grading. Worked on the skid steer for the landfill again. It's fixed again. We took about 60 floats up to the old pit. Of course, snow removal. On my end of water and sewer, I did my first set of quarterly samples for the year. I've replaced the water service on a main line in town. Had the silly painting some valve boxes. I did some replumbing in the water plant. Added a shutoff valve. And I'm continuing to train the new employee of the silly. Landfill, the only thing it's saying besides the incinerator needs to do work, and they will be addressing that real soon. And of course, they've hauled a bunch of the trashed floats from the old for the old floats to the dump. And not only that, at the bottom, those engineers will be out for the road in the next couple weeks, and they can get a locate for the phone line. And if you have any other questions, that's it.
Any comments or questions for Dennis? Okay, Dennis, thanks. And just an update, Dennis did turn his resignation in to the council that he'll be leaving as of April the 11th. And in the meantime, he'll be working with the city. We're going to probably put an advertisement out for a new water and sewer director, so that will be taking place. Dennis will be around here for a period of time to help us with that. I want to thank Dennis for his 2.5 years here with us. He's done a good job. We appreciate Dennis. Thank you. Okay. Colton. I'm sorry, Colton. The harbor master. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm fine.
Me? Thank you. Good evening. Very, very quick report. The harbor was touched on. Also, the Magon is here, and the electrical was touched on. As for the engine in the travel lift, after 17 years of service, it's showing a lot of wear and tear and age. It was working great until it started smoking like a banshee air not too long ago and burning oil. So there was something big time going on the inside. There was a possibility of a rebuild, but we'd had to tear the engine apart, and the engine runs now. We can work with it, but it was decided to replace it instead of tearing it apart and having the machine down for a couple of weeks. You never know when you're going to need it, so it was decided to just replace the engine, so that should be showing up soon, I hope. And Magon has been touched on there. Down there tearing the float apart, they were all day. And today the crew at the harbor installed the ladders. We had 70 ladders coming on the freight boat. Put a ladder between every float down at the harbor and in the old harbor, and they were needed. So, but those are installed. I just have to send for zincs, and we'll zinc them as soon as we get zincs. And I took pictures and shipped them off to Pacific Pile for the damage done to the wall, the loading wall in the new harbor. Some of the cap rail was damaged, so I should be hearing from Keith soon. And that's about all I have to report.
Thanks, Moody. Maybe also you could update us on the fender piling. I see you still have that big section laying in front of the shop down there. And I know
that fender piling was an old section that somebody damaged before I came to work at the harbor. And they totally replaced it. And we just used that old fender piling for a template. Okay. for the fenders that we're going, the crew will start replacing out at the city dock. We're using that just as a template to drill the holes and mark the timbers that are, because we were going to pull each fender off consecutively and swap out the timbers and put it back down. But that dock is, and the fixtures are old and rusted, and so we decided it'd be easier to go out to the dock with cutting torches and snip off the old bolts that are holding the fenders, the wood fenders, to the frame itself, and replace them one at a time instead of pulling the whole fender out. That was an old fender piling that was laying up against the hill for quite a while.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks. Well, in our conversation, Andy and I today were talking about or maybe in June, that's kind of one of our priorities, is the dock down there. We talked about the 60 timbers. How many timbers did we order?
60.
60 timbers, so we thought that's actually part of a program that we're seeing in June, so that also will give us a little fuel along with us when we go down there, that we know we have 60 timbers that we are repairing the timber pile.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate you guys hitting on that tender system out at the dock because it needs it.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks, that one. Colton, sorry.
Okay, now it's my turn.
Yeah.
All right, start out with, we have some adjustments on our council. We've done some internal promotions since a member missed too many meetings. So I'm still president, but we've promoted Jillian to vice president. We've promoted Dantesa to secondary treasurer. And we've promoted Kiyomi and Riata to social chair. And we still have the same representatives. That's 12th grade representatives, Kiyomi, 11th grade representatives, Riata, 10th grade representatives, Chloe, 9th grade representative is Madison, 8th grade representative is Peyton, and 7th grade representative is still Brittany. Some events for the student council are coming up is the Spring Oslog in Glen Allen on April 10th through 12th. Chloe and I will be going to that. Prom is on May 3rd. Our theme is Fancy Masquerade. The colors are green, red, silver, black, and we'll be having it in one half of the gymnasium. And we're having a Go Green Week on April 21st through 25th. That's Earth Day Week. We're going to try to see if we can do a recycling drive and get some kids to plant seeds around town. Lisa and the Recycling Center are going to help us out with that. And we're going to start doing some monthly fundraisers to raise money for some student council sweatshirts or something and get some concession stuff at the student store. And some school events that are coming up is Reclaim Alaska. They're doing another conference on March 27th. And some guys from Bristol Bay are here doing tobacco prevention. They did a basketball thing and a Zumba thing last night at the gym. And the kids just did their nutrition play up at the school today. It was like kindergarten through 12th graders did a nice little place. And graduation is on May 9th at 7. That's all I have to report. Thanks.
Colton, we appreciate your report. Like your mischief at the last meeting. I believe you missed you at the last meeting.
I didn't get a thing last time. I didn't know what it was.
Okay, well, we sure appreciate you coming here and all the information. It is very good information for us at the council, and we just appreciate your participation from the school level. Thank you.
I think he guys were traveling.
He was on basketball.
You were traveling.
Oh, I was?
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you. Council has been. Okay, and hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. The second reading of ordinance 2014-22, improvement of nuisances. Motion to get for adoption. Put on the floor.
Do you need to put on the floor first?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to put ordinance 2014-02 on the floor for second reading.
Yes.
I'll start it.
All right, and as before, we always have had public participation in ordinances, and we'll at this time open the floor for public comment on ordinance 2014-2, abatement of nuisance, the second reading. Is there any public comment? PJ.
Yeah. concerning number 11, abandoned or broken equipment. Stored on public property, not maintained as a landfill, junkyard, or salvage. I was wondering, just kind of, just addressing like the harbor, for instance, where, you know, stuff has been abandoned, you know, old boats and such, you know, and maybe some kind of time frame for that. If not in conjunction with this, maybe as a separate bullet altogether, and just kind of outlining, you know, if you're going to leave a boat, then, you know, after a certain period of time, whether or not it's abandoned or if it, you know, especially if it hasn't been paid for.
Right, well, I'm glad you asked because Andy and I, we had a conversation after a workshop considering once, if this ordinance is passed through, what the procedures are. Andy, maybe you could fill him in on.
Well, what we discussed basically regarding the harbor was just looking in the harbor code, that's Title 11, Chapter, the code already says derelict property, kind of describing what's here in this number 11, can be impounded. You have to get 20 days notice to the owner through the mail of the owner, to creditors, posted on their boat, in the post office, but there is a procedure giving about 3 weeks notice to there. And then if the city wants to go through with, impounding and then through sale, that's another, I think, 20 days notice, but this language here, abandoned and broken, it's not as explicit as it is actually in the code existing, so it probably could be melded.
Right, and probably for clarification, I can read what the proposed ordinance represents. It's I can just read it to you in the abatement of nuisance. It does not repeal any other provisions of the code regarding what constitutes a nuisance. So, for example, nuisance declared a public nuisance will still be nuisances. The proposed ordinance establishes procedures how to get rid of public nuisances. It expands the list of what constitutes a nuisance, but the language doing so uses the phrase not limited to. So the list in this order does not undo any other provisions of the code which are declared to be a nuisance. So basically what they're doing with this ordinance, they're not replacing anything. This is just another addition to it that fills in all the loose ends. But it doesn't replace anything that we have.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be a different instance of this altogether, since it's a different, you know, you're probably entering into some sort of a written agreement, you know, with the harbor, for example. But, I mean, maybe that should be addressed, you know, especially if you consider, you know, and kind of put the line out there, like, what is a nuisance and what isn't, you know, if something's sitting and taking up public space.
Right, that's you're probably right. That's what constitutes an issue. As far as 11 goes, I think, you know, we discussed it at the workshop today, and we had a lengthy discussion, but some concern, and I think the council was able to at least listen to some of the issues that pertain to the nuisance abatement. Alan, do you have anything to say?
We in our workshop today, we talked a lot about this thing, and I think in the end, you know, we look at my concern, of course, with some of the language like unnecessary or unusual noise. Well, who determines that? And then as we read it, you know, our abatement official is the chief of police, the fire chief, director of planning, and here is what it says. So, you know, that's who we go back to our police chief as to what is unusual noise, what's unnecessary. Some of this stuff, we had a good discussion with Michael about, you know, how you use these regulations. And then one of the other points that, you know, is in here is if we remove the nuisance, if we remove the old vehicle, we're not charging anybody. The city's just going and getting it and cleaning up the mess, right? And it says in here, But it's stated in here that it's, you know, the city will clean it up. If we don't like it, if we want to get rid of it, we'll go get the old trailer and haul it off to the dump at the city's expense, just to clean the community.
And Just a little addition to that, that's the intent of the ordinance is to, as you know, we've been able to clear a lot of the old trailers, abandoned trailers, and abandoned vehicles and boats, etc., and with permission from the prior owners. But with those who don't give us permission, because either you can't contact them, they don't respond to any mail, certified mails that we've sent out, this gives us the other opportunity that we have within our powers to at least identify those areas that are committed to the city and move those legally without, you know, ending up in any recourse for the city. And also, which is a public nuisance. It has to be declared a public nuisance first. All right?
Okay.
That answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, it seems kind of like a real general provisions. You know, I just, you know, you guys hit on a lot of really good ideas. It just, I don't know, sometimes a little bit more guidelines, you know, kind of help to, you know, determine certain things, you know.
And those were issues that we spoke this afternoon after the workshop, is how do we set this up? And, of course, we did talk about it. And there's a way of doing that with ready ordinance and how to go about doing it. Once this ordinance is in place, that gives us the ability to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other comments? I'll close the portion for the public comments. Any council comments? Hearing none. Question, please.
Shirley?
Are we adopting this now?
Yes, we're voting on it for adoption.
Okay, yes.
Okay, Marita?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Okay. The record show that ordinance 2014-2 is adopted. 2014-03, Elders Utility Exemptions. This is the second reading. I need a motion to get that on the floor for discussion and adoption.
I'll make a motion to put Ordinance 1403 on the floor for second reading.
Second, we have a motion, a second. This time we'd open this up to public comments, public participation. Any public comments on Ordinance 14-03? Okay, we'll close that portion. Council, any council comments? Andy, did you want to give a refresher on the ordinance at all before we call for the question?
This was an issue in the works, I think, with the council before my time. I think my only knowledge of it is just about what I've read in the ordinance. So
does council have any comments? Shirley, did you have any comments you wanted to make on it?
No, I don't have any comments.
Okay. All right, well, call for the question, John?
Yes.
Oh, pardon?
Probably need a motion to adopt.
Oh, motion to adopt, yes.
I think we need it on the last ordinance, too.
Motion for that. Well, we did. We need a motion to adopt ordinance 14-03.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 14-03.
Second.
Sure. I mean, Shannon, please.
Grant?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Okay, 1403 adopted. We have ordinance 1404. This is the financial disclosure statement for the first reading. Need a motion to get it on the floor to move it through for the second reading.
I'll make a motion to put ordinance 2014-04 on the floor for the first reading. Right?
Yeah.
I'll second.
Andy, did you have a...
Yeah, this is just a standard procedure to put this ordinance into code. That the Alaska Public Offices Commission, APOC, several years ago started requiring broader financial disclosure regulations from public officials, and so several communities and Volusia's borough is one. A lot of communities across Alaska have put up ballot initiatives to opt out of the APOC financial disclosures and create their own financial disclosure rules. So that's what the Sandpoint voters passed last September, I think it was. So where the city creates its own financial disclosure requirements. It's a much shorter, it's 12 pages, but it's still shorter than what APOC required. And this disclosure is just modeled off of what the borough does. So that if passed, the effective date of this form each year would be April 15th. But since the second reading of this would be April 8th, that would be a short turnaround to do it. So if passed, the effective date for this year would be May 15th, and then subsequent years would be April 15th to fill out the form.
Thanks, Andy. Well, we have a motion on the floor, a second to put it on the table and pass it on for its first reading. So we need to take the vote on that. Shannon, please, question.
Marita?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
Shirley?
Is this just the introduction, or what are we doing?
Yes, this is the introduction.
I missed something.
The introduction to pass it on to the second reading.
Okay, yes.
Correa?
Yes.
Okay. Ordinance 2014-06, Robert E. Galvin, Small Brook Harbor Electric Service. Need a motion to get that on the floor to pass it through for the second reading. Is there a motion?
Mr. Mayor,
yep.
Did you skip 05?
I'm sorry. 2014-05, FY budget revision, first reading. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm ahead of myself. Need a motion to get that on the floor through for its first reading.
I'll make a motion to put ordinance 1405 on the floor for first reading.
Second.
Okay, Andy, you want to make a comment on that before we go?
Well, the finance officer, Krista, and I last week went over the current year budget and just made a few changes to the revenue and expenditure side, kind of our best guess of best educated guess, kind of knowing what we've gone through for the first two thirds of the fiscal year and what we're projecting onward, with just the I guess we're three and a half remaining months left in the fiscal year. So those changes are in front of the council. I think we'll still have a couple more changes to make if the first reading passes by the time we get to the second reading, because there's a few, there's one or two items we've talked about, and Mayor, you and I talked about them today, that's sort of a larger item that we'll need to incorporate into this year's budget. So those will be sort of finalized in April.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah,
those spoken earlier today, we'll be having a workshop next month, and we can probably, address most of those issues before the meeting. Okay. Further questions, Shannon?
Shirley?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Raya?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Okay, 2014-05 passes its first reading. Ordinance 2014-06, Robin Bell, Small Motor Director of Service. I'm going to get this ordinance on the floor to pass it on through for the second reading.
Make a motion to put ordinance 2014-06 on the floor for its first reading. Second.
Andy, you want to touch on that one again?
Sure. Well, this
open question.
Yeah. Just be brief, this is an issue that the city we need to resolve and take on with the harbor going under its rehabilitation. Obviously, the electrical system was ripped out and a new one put in, and TDX Power said they don't want to do the meter reading or billing or any of that this time around, so it's something the city will have to do. So this is just This ordinance is to amend the code in Title 11, I think, of the harbor for the city to read meter read and bill users of electrical services in the harbor and establish the fees to do so. We worked with the attorney to figure out the code change based on what other harbors in the region and other coastal communities do. Essentially what Sam pointed to do is just pass on the cost of electricity, the same rate for TDX to the users, and just establish a service fee or an access fee just to recoup the city's costs for administration, things like that, not to make money. Because if we did that, then we'd have to go to RCA, the Regulatory Commission. But it's just to provide the service and then recoup the cost of providing that service. And so the attached memo kind of lays out what other communities do. And this ordinance didn't come in until last week when we got the swamp sale from the attorney, so I didn't really have time to research what his appropriate fees might be, but I imagine it'll be what this range is in here, and that's about $15 to $40 a month based on what other communities do. We'll just have to see how much it's going to cost based on other meter reading in town and kind of all the services that will be involved. And so we'll work with staff to find a good spot to land on there.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate it.
And Councilmember Stearns brought up a good point about, you know, some other things we can check into, such as what happens if somebody destroys a receptacle, not inadvertently, but in a way that could have been avoided. You know, maybe that's another idea to have as a fee or just replace it if it's an avoidable cost.
Rita?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Grant?
Okay, we have no old business. Under new business, we have FY13 audit results. Andy, you maybe, since you talked to her, the auditor, you might want to pass on what transpired.
Yeah, well, I think all the council members have the financial statements and the management letter from BDO. So they finally finished the audit a couple weeks ago, and we've talked with them a couple times about the results. And BDO is going to be at the workshop today to kind of talk to council members about the audit findings and recommendations about maybe a few things to improve, but we postponed that to April council meeting, so hopefully more members can be in attendance. It'd be good for everybody here. You can see here in the management letter, you know, my discussions with her, the city's finances are in good shape. Like all communities, there are certain things like water and sewer that other portions of the budget subsidize, but that's pretty much the case in a lot of rural Alaska communities. That's nothing new, according to her and what I saw in my previous job with other communities. But the one material weakness is trying to reconcile the GL, the general ledger, on a more regular basis and establishing a policy to do that. So that's something the auditor is going to work with us on to fix that going forward, and we'll see if we can't get some help out here for audit preparation for this year, FY14 audit as well. But I would say just expect next month's workshop, expect to have the auditor kind of explaining this in a little more detail with the council. Well, a lot more detail, because I didn't explain this in detail.
We're hoping that there will be, you know, a lot more council to attend. Hoping most of the council will be there for the end of the council.
Yeah.
Very important.
Her review with me is not something I can replicate. Talking about what all the schedules mean, I think it would be good to have her explain it for council.
And she'll spend most of that time at the workshop explaining the ins and outs and just the requirements of the act. So yeah, I think that it gets council direction. Council passes the motion on to the finance department as well as the administration. For our next meeting. Thank you, Andy. Okay, second number two on new business is the QTT annual birthday prayer donation request. We did have that earlier today. Krista?
We gave them $250 last year.
So what does council desire?
Same as last year?
I'm not sure what your guys' discussion was during the workshop.
Yeah, it was just a presentation. They were looking for, you know, if they could do the same as we did last year, they'd be happy. Whatever the city is.
How much money do we have left in our 16?
And of course, talking earlier to the workshop, remember that 5,000 is that money?
If someone does the
$11,000. But I mean, that could be a year's salary budget, $5,000. It could be next fiscal year. Oh, okay. Just depends when someone wants to volunteer to do it. I'll make a motion to donate the same portion as we did last year, the $250 for birthday care.
Awesome.
Question, please.
Grant?
Yes.
Shirley?
What was the motion?
The motion was to approve the QTT tribe's request for the annual Earth Day Fair.
For how much?
$250, same as last year.
$250, okay, same as last year?
Yes.
I'll say yes. I'm not hearing everything.
Okay, well, we'll talk a little louder, Shirley.
I can go back in and wait. I didn't know you wanted me to wait, Shirley.
Okay.
Alan,
yes.
Where
are you?
Marita?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Building permit, Luis Bravo. Maybe before we get into that, maybe you can explain. There was a question about the building in the harbor. Maybe you can explain a little bit to the council what transpired before Louis Bravo came up looking for the building.
Well, over the years, he's been building tarp buildings down there to do his fiberglass work. In the last 3-4 years, he's done a lot of fiberglass work down there. Used to do his fiberglassing in his shop, but it's too powerful of too many good smells coming upstairs. That's what it boiled down to. And then the last few years he's had trouble with the weather keeping his tarp shacks up. They blow apart. And this year, especially with all the bad weather, the rain and stuff, he wanted to build himself a shack to, so that he could do his fiberglassing in the shack over on his where he's got rental property down at the harbor. And he asked me if it was okay. I said, have at her. You're leasing that piece of property that's 25 feet wide and 50 feet long. As long as you keep it in with on that property you're leasing, I don't have any headaches with it, but you should probably speak with the mayor first and get his view. And so he started, actually building a building. He hadn't finished it yet. And I also mentioned that he should probably go to the Planning and Zoning Commission with a request to build. And that's where it's standing now. The building isn't complete. It's in the first stages of being put up.
All right, really, thanks. That was brought to my attention. A couple of people asked about, did they actually or the billing request into the clerk of our city's perspective. And they said, I asked Millie and I asked Mr. Bravo, and he said, no, that he had. So he stopped doing what he was doing here and put the billing request in. So I think Millie's right. It is kind of hard to do this fiberglass inside that office and still be up in the city and the harbor office, because that fiberglass wall has come up there, and I think it's a good thing he's doing. It's a removable building. Any motion to approve the building?
I'll make a motion to approve the lease problem building.
Second. Hey, Shirley, was you able to hear us?
Not really. Is he paying a lease on that space down there where he's building?
Yes, he's paying a lease on it.
Okay. So there was a motion to approve it. I'll say yes.
Okay. Next question, please.
Grant?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Okay, new business. 4, class of 2014 donation request. Who's going to address that?
I will. I'm Lee Julian. I'm the class advisor for the senior class this year. And I have to apologize. The reason we're here is not for additional funds to cover decorations, caps and gowns, and flowers. We have the money for that. We've actually raised over $10,000 for the senior class this year, and we have all that covered. What we're here asking for donations for is the students would like to go on a class trip or perhaps get plane tickets to when they go to college, or an electronic device if they're going to be taking distance learning, something to help them in an educational purpose.
You could shut it off.
And they have to come with a final vote on this on
shut it off
by next Tuesday, so they have a week to do this. We've talked about it today. Since they have raised so much money, they're going to have a lot of money.
Hey, could you come up here so Shirley can hear you, please? That would be nice. Thank you.
Since they are going to have so much money left over from paying for their decorations, their caps and gowns and flowers, they decided to set a goal of $14,000. That will be, since the graduating class is set to be 7 this year, they want to raise $2,000 per student, and they're already at, like I said, over $10,000. So by May 1st, we're looking to raise another approximately $3,500. And we just kind of wanted to get the word out there, especially just so that everyone knows we're looking for donations. And if the city has anything to offer, we'd be willing to take anything that you could offer. So we had the class come up and show their beautiful faces here, too. So,
if you do, ask other people around business, I would mention that you have the money for caps and gowns, and you've raised this.
Sure.
Just because we didn't know earlier today.
And that is my bad. I've also been doing basketball coaching and everything, so whenever they handed this to me to edit it, I looked, okay, that looks good. Sign it, guys. Because I've been busy. But that is my bad, and I will definitely make that correction. Any other questions?
Council, have any questions for Nate?
So are you going to come back with a specific request?
We will, yes. We will. We wanted to get this letter in as quickly as possible because we knew there was only one more meeting. We were told that before, the next one's in April, right?
Yes.
So the same day I made sure we got the letter in so we could make it to this meeting and get the word out there as early as possible. Because we came up with this goal after they came up and realized that we're going to have that much money left over. So.
And I was speaking from the city's perspective. I know we're supporters of education, of course. We
sure.
really want to support our students, if you will, to move forward in the educational process. So that's how I feel about it. And like I think Rayette's probably got the right had the right questions that you're going to bring a specific request to that.
Absolutely.
So actually, we don't really need to do any action on this right now. Just your request for the next meeting. Is that basically how you read?
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah. To know specifically that, what you're
requesting
more.
We kind of just wanted to get it out there as soon as possible, too. So, yeah, but we will definitely come back with a definite plan for the money.
Is there anybody in your class that wants to say anything, or
did anyone want to have a comment? Yeah.
Like he said, anything helps. Really, we're trying to further our education, so. If the money goes to a plane ticket, it could be a plane ticket for one of us to go to college or a computer, because maybe one of us will need a computer for one of the classes we're going to take, or books for college, because everyone knows books for college always come out to thousands of dollars. So really anything that can be given is a big help.
Thanks. Any other comment?
Kids are quiet. Never this quiet in my class.
Okay, Nate, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right,
thanks. All right. The Janice Shravloff request.
What did we do?
It was 200 last year.
200?
We've been doing this every year. We've been doing this every year for quite some time, right?
Yeah, we took over after Janice. I think like 2 years after that, we took over, me and Jay.
I think
there was a couple of other people that helped.
And I think Alan had a good comment at the workshop. Alan, you might want to.
It's for the whole, all the kids.
Yeah, we've supported this in the past, and it benefits all the kids in the community. And not just, small number. I think it's a really, really, really good thing.
We get
really
a
good program.
Big turnout.
There's a lot of volunteer effort that goes into this as well. Yeah.
More than 200 better.
Yeah, well, that's what my only question was. Was last year, how did the 200...
We didn't do any fundraisers this year, which we're going to try to do some this summer. So we're just counting on people donating this year.
How much normally does the event cost?
It's $1,000 for all the baskets. And then we try to get candy bags. Mm-hmm. And probably like $300 for candy. And I think that's about it, because the store donates eggs for us. And...
What about like your gift cards and stuff like that? Is that counted in your $1,000?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah. We have to buy egg dye too. I'm not really sure how much that usually is.
Thanks, Kristen. What are the wishes of the council?
I think it should be more than 200, especially when more participate for this compared to like the Earth Day Fair, in my opinion.
Is there an amount the council is putting into consideration and wants to make a motion?
Did you guys discuss an amount during the workshop?
Mm-hmm. No. No, she was giving the information for us. She just told us what they donated last time.
I don't think we got anything yet from anybody. Shakes. We might not be having an Easter egg hunt.
Was there any wishes of the council?
I'll make a motion to donate $300 to the John Sherlock Memorial Easter egg hunt.
How much?
$300. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
I think Alan should have to wear the bunny suit.
All right.
He said, all right, that's fair.
Let me see what he hears.
Question, please.
Alan?
Yes.
Brett?
Yes.
Shirley?
And the motion was for 300?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Rita.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Number six, Eats. Maybe you can introduce yourself.
Yes,
come right up.
My name is Jennifer Harrison. I'm the new executive director with Eastern Lincoln Tribes of New Anchorage. And I'm visiting all of the clinics throughout the year. And I'll
can you hear her, Shirley?
Kind of.
Okay, I kind of talk softly, so I'll speak up. But I plan to visit Sandpoint twice a year, and I'm here all week. So if anyone would like to come and talk to me about the clinic, or you know, successes and things that we need to work on, feel free to call the clinic and also email me. But I did have three things that I wanted to focus on with my presentation. I wanted to let you guys know that you have a new physician assistant. He's a permanent physician assistant. His name is Lewis Smith, and he's here in Sandpoint right now, kind of doing orientation. He's waiting for his Alaska license, so he can't actually see patients. But he's kind of moving into his home and going through orientation and stuff. But as soon as he gets his license, then he'll be able to see patients. Why this is exciting for us is that he's our permanent physician assistant, so there'll be less of the locum itinerant providers, so the faces won't change so often at the clinic. And also, we wanted a male and a female, so with Susan, we have a female mid-level provider, and with Lou, we have a male mid-level provider, so that people can make those choices if it's something that they feel more comfortable with, one gender or the other. So if you see a new guy around with a physician assistant, he kind of has a logo on his jacket, make sure you say hello, welcome to Sandpoint. The second issue I wanted to mention was everywhere I go, people have been talking about behavioral health and substance abuse issues. And I wanted to let you know that EAT has hired a new behavioral health clinician that's full-time over in King Cove. And why that makes a big difference for you guys here in Sandpoint is that means that Steve will be around more often, and he won't be as under as much workload as he has been. So hopefully he'll be more available to come to the school and also to have more discussions with people. Some of the ideas that I've been talking to other regional organizations about and community members about is the need for a detox in our region. And we've been thinking about possibly expanding our plans for the Cold Bay Clinic to include some overnight beds so that we could possibly do detox. Detox is something that a mid-level provider, a physician assistant, or a nurse practitioner can administer. Detox is basically because when you go through withdrawals, sometimes you feel like you're going to die. You're not going to die, but you feel like you're going to die, and sometimes it's much easier to make that decision to become clean if you can go through the detox process. I'm also starting to talk to people about halfway house, so that when people come back from rehabilitation or come back from treatment, they have a place to go to kind of get back on their feet. It would have to be very structured, because we don't want the halfway house to become the drug house. So we'd probably do routine urine tests and security and that sort of thing, so it wouldn't be just free housing. But those are just ideas that I'm talking about, seeing what people think in the region. The third thing that I want to talk about is a grant that we're going for, and you guys have a copy at the workshop, so I'll make sure you guys have a copy. But it's a competitive grant, so it doesn't necessarily mean that we'll get it, but I asked for the students to stay because you guys are graduating and you're exactly the people I want to talk to about this project. We are having trouble recruiting for medical providers, behavioral health clinicians, behavioral health aides, dental aides, dentists, information technology people, clinical information people. We are recruiting people from the lower 48 because we're having trouble getting people locally and in the Anchorage area. And so we started this project. Let me see if I can. If you guys want to start this copy. You don't want a copy, feel free to pass it along. But basically, the grant would be a 3-year grant where we would focus on basically helping with long-term employment, attaining skills, training, education, experience, so people could more easily participate in the workforce. Although the funding sources administration for Native Americans, it would be focused on Alaska Natives. Those are mainly the scholarship opportunities, but not necessarily the technical assistance opportunities, because we are all about local hire. Whether they're Alaska Native or not, we prefer to hire locally. So, like I said, focused on those medical, dental, behavioral health, information technology. We're going to be doing community outreach, creation of a new EAT position focused on training and education, financial aid process assistance, direct job placement opportunities at EAT. We'd also be working with other regionals to see if someone that we helped get training, if we can't place them, if they could be placed with another regional organization, because I'm sure everybody, including the city, probably wants IT help, because the IT world is changing so quickly. That's definitely one that's kind of universal for all the businesses. But that's a little bit about our project. Like I said, it's a competitive project. We're applying next month. Right now I'm just kind of asking people what you think, what would make it better, what should we delete, you know, what you'd like to see added to it. So we'll submit our grant in April. It probably wouldn't be funded until October if we're successful, but we do think that we have a pretty good chance, because both myself and grant writer Jack Alcorn has successfully obtained the same grants in the past, so we think we have a better chance than normal. So if anyone has any questions or any comments about the clinics or about any things I talked about this seminar.
Council have any comments? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Question.
Sure.
You said the detox beds for Cold Bay?
Well, the only construction project that we're involved in, and we're not building buildings, we're just partnering with other people, and we're trying to get out of this business of owning buildings. The city of Cold Bay and the borough are raising money to replace the Cold Bay Clinic. They have a full design done. They're just looking for construction money. But our Dr. Martha Cotton, our medical director, she came to us last week, and we spoke for basically the whole afternoon, and she feels that behavioral health is our number one issue in our region. And she gave us the idea of this critical care hospital. And basically a critical care hospital means you have overnight beds. You really only have to have about four to be a critical care hospital. And it influences your ability to get funding and helps you with accreditation and stuff like that, because you're a hospital. But why it's important is, if you notice, no one spends the night at our clinics unless you're like waiting for a medevac. But I mean, we don't have any like overnight beds. And you kind of need an overnight bed to do detox. And you could also use overnight beds for stuff like pneumonia, where you don't really need to go to the hospital. You just need someone to watch your fluid levels overnight. So there's other things that we could do with beds if we expand the current design to have a residential four beds. And I'm not sure what it will take to redesign it, you know, if people are going to be supportive of it. But that's kind of the hardest first step, is to do detox, because you have to fly somewhere else. And yet, who has the money for the flight? And how are you going to pay for the treatment? And usually, once you're in detox, you can usually get to the next step of long-term treatment. But that detox, beds being open, is kind of the first critical step.
So if we had somebody who wanted to detox from here, would you transport them to Cold Bay?
That would be the idea. That would be the idea, is that we would have a local place instead of having to go find a place in, I think we've been going to Dillingham most of the people from there. Or there's Anchorage, or there's some place in Southeast. There's places in Canada and Lower 48 if you're really desperate, because the beds are full. But that's kind of the idea, is that we would have one closer. But we need to talk to APIA and see what their plans are for the region, because they're also looking at in Alaska, expanding their clinic facility within Alaska. And so, you know, between the two of us, I think we should be able to find some detox beds closer to home.
And then the halfway house part, are you guys kind of, what's your thought on?
Well, we would just be part of the idea. I'm just trying
you're
to
just
spread the
with.
Energy
okay.
of the idea, because AHA would have to be involved
right.
with the house, because they're the ones that manage the housing. The police department have been involved in kind of security of, you know, checking on the place. Our portion would be kind of the behavioral health counseling and doing the urine tests so that they know that they have to be accountable.
I just know that that has been a lot of talk, especially during our Reclaim Alaska meetings, is that is one of the huge concerns of getting something in this community is a transition place, whether it's transitioning in back into the community or transitioning into a rehab facility, just so that they have a safe place where they feel they can go and be. Pretty much every single meeting we have, that is one of the subjects that we're constantly talking about.
And you're
trying to figure out a way.
Well, and you're not the only community expressing that concern, and so I feel like it's something that the, as a region, we have to start looking at and start planning.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Sure. I have a question about the halfway house. Mm-hmm. Would this be like, you know how people come out of jail and go to halfway houses too? Would this be like a halfway house where there's drug tests? Well, there'd be mandatory drug tests, of course, but would it be like a set, like, to say bedtime when they have to be home at a certain time?
It would have to be structured.
Is this going to be like a locked place where no one can get in the middle of the night and no one can leave?
This is right now, it's just an idea. So right now is the perfect time to be asking those questions. Do we want that or not want that? Do we think that would help or do we think that would hurt? Now is the time to be talking to different people that have run them in the past and what was bad about what they were doing and what was good about what they're doing. But those are all good questions. We're not even that far in our planning. That's why I just wanted to bring it up when it's just a seed so people can ask those questions and also express their opinion. I mean, you're asking if they're going to do that, do you think it would be a good thing or a bad thing to do that? Do you think it would help or hurt someone that was trying to change their life?
I mean, if the building's locked, you can't get people in there. I mean,
yeah.
If you're coming off a drug addiction, there's always, if it's around you, it's gonna, you're gonna know about it. And if they could get in, or someone could get in, or they could get out, you know, it's bound to happen eventually.
So you're in support of more structure and locking and stuff. That's good to know. Thanks, I appreciate you.
I would say if you're gonna, you know, another general thing in there that probably should be addressed would be like a safe house for women, especially, you know, then if they're in a relationship where drugs are a key and they've got no other way out, then, you know, it should be added in there.
That's what actually started me thinking of the halfway houses, because years ago they had these safe houses and they got funding to keep these safe houses open and running and or somehow maintained throughout the region. And then suddenly I stopped hearing about safe houses, and I'm kind of wondering where they are they still operating? But that's what kind of started this idea, because I was like, well, can't we just use the safe houses? We'll just expand the safe house program. But that is a concern. Maybe it can be combined or just separate, but it's just as big an issue.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you. I think it's a good, it's actually a good topic. If you look at the area in general, there really isn't much out here in our region, really. Every time there has to be something done that to address these types of issues, that we do have to travel pretty far away. So, I know where that's right. There has been a lot of talk about what could be done within our region. So, those are some early stages and early planning, so it's a good thing. We appreciate you coming out and sharing that with us. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Public comments. Any public comments? This is your chance. The public comments. Oh, yes, Krista.
I took my son to the playground the other day, and there's like this huge mud spot over there.
On ours?
Yeah. So okay. I was wondering maybe they can, I don't know if they have rock or we do, or I don't know, just to do something because my kid flies right into the mud off the slide.
Fun for the kid.
I've been wanting to ask, We have this playground here. Does this have another? Is this the only city?
That's the only city playground.
The city one. Yeah, there's one more up there, but it's for the five.
And
the
there's and two the
more. Oh, the school. Right.
School.
Head Start and school.
Last month I went to walk through. There's snow on the ground. I couldn't see what the surface is. So is it?
It's rocks.
It's rock. I know our current insurer, they have grants for playground services, and basically, I'll just look into it, and I'll, you can get funding for that.
It requires 6 inches of playground footing, and the school playground and our playground at Head Start have the rubber mulch, and I know it's expensive, but and it's messy when your kids come home, but it is... It truly is the best surface material because we've taken our kids over there to play too, and that tube slide that's dangerous. Yeah, over there, Jeremy went flying through there a few times too, like face first.
Christian, of course, gets money, and then he jumps in my car, and I'm like, no, and he doesn't understand. Yeah. He's getting muck everywhere.
Well. But it needs to be 6 inches deep. Around the, I mean, you wouldn't have to fill the whole thing. You could border the playground equipment and fill in there. And then it doesn't. Everybody's like, "Oh, it's gonna blow away! It's gonna blow away." Ours only blows away when the kids decide to throw it up in the air. But other than that, it's
Ian brings it home in his pockets. It's always in my laundry. I'm like, "Where'd this come from?"
I know. It's a mess, but it really is the best stuff. And I was going to actually bring that up during council comments too about looking for monies for that for safety.
I think those grants are several thousand dollars, so they could probably find.
It's
going
to be a few thousand dollars just to ship it.
I think they're up to like 10. I'll look into it.
That'll be good.
Nice. Thank you. Any other comments? Public?
Yeah, I had just one little thing about Dennis was talking about. They did that walkway with gravel from the apartment. Maybe, I don't know, a lot of people kind of look at a lot of these boardwalks kind of weirdly. Maybe that could be something that's kind of, you know, get some of these older boardwalks transitioned over and filled in with gravel.
Yes, we do have a plan. The Public Works Director and I have been working on that for quite some time, so we're trying to transition that into the harbor zone. We even talked about...
We have money in the budget, too, for boardwalks.
We have. We're trying to get rid of the boardwalks because it's replacing boardwalks all the time. They're slippery, upright, et cetera. So we've talked about gravel and moving like we did up there, but also we have some floats that are left. We're going to try and fill that in from Trident up to the triplex, and then we talked about doing cement... 3x8-foot sections in the apartment, so that's been in the hopper for some time. And in the meantime, this is a fixed floor, so we have to have gravel in place before we can lay those down anyway. So, oh, you're right, and that's a good thing. He did a real nice job up there. So I think that's a lot nicer than that boardwalk. And hopefully he'll be addressing some of these issues this spring. Any other public comments? Thank you, PJ.
And
yes.
The boardwalk up by the school, that one boardwalk that's leading up to it, it's gotten pretty dangerous, and that one turn right there has actually been cut down to two boards, and the mud right next to it has gotten pretty deep that I was actually scared that I'll fall in and get hurt.
Pretty much in the springtime.
A lot of four-wheelers go through it. That's why.
Well, we'll bring that attention to our Public Works Director. He'll be back full force tomorrow, so we'll be up addressing that, yes.
Full force.
Full force up addressing it, yes.
He's down today. I don't have to be down. Full force, but he might be 70% of top rat.
Hopefully, yeah. Okay, I hope so. Well, thank you. Any other public comments? Hearing none. Council comments. Rhea?
I guess it's a question that I have, and I know we kind of touched on it a little bit before about
what our projected plan is, like a 5-year plan. I know you guys have a specific word for it, but I can't think of what it is. Do we have a 5-year plan?
You know, actually, we do have a plan, and we had a it's a capital improvement. We did, and you know, we did have the dock was part of it, the harbor, water, sewer, the paving in the harbor, and I think when Paul and Glenn was here, it was the school loop road, and all the things that you've seen down through the city of Sandpoint has been part of that program. Andy, he's got a thumb drive from Paul Day, and I would say that all that information is on that thumb drive, Andy, if you look in there and that.
Well, my thought was, since Andy is, you know, starting fresh on the with us, that maybe it's something we need to review and make some and revise and start planning again for the future, because I know that there's a lot of things that need to be, and part of it has to do with, you know, budget and stuff. So if we're looking at cleaning up our budget and getting it more in line with what we need, to me it would make sense that we would start 3-year plan, 5-year plan, I don't know, whatever is the most realistic, because I think, you know, as we're going along, operating on these things that are just coming up, I think it'd be better. At least we have a goal we're shooting towards. Or, that's my thought for the day.
Thank you. And I like to follow up on comment. As you'll notice, in the city itself, there has been projects completed that was part of that program. So we've got the, like I said, the school loop road. The harbor project is part of that. We've got also the paving from the reservoir to the airport. So that's another part of it. And from the airport road down to the harbor. So there are some issues, but you're right, we should maybe get together since Andy's here. He's just come aboard that we could have a, we could probably prioritize that, at least tie that into our funding and revenue that we had. You know, what the city has actually, what we have access to, and maybe what we can gain access to. As you said, there may be grants available.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. The most I've seen is just what we put into the CAPSIS, the legislative capital improvement request system. But having a 5-year plan, 3-year, whatever it is, but having maybe the top 5 projects of the city, and then you can, you know, when people ask the mayor or the administrator or any council member, everyone sort of knows exactly what we're all aiming for.
If we can get that worked into our next schedule, maybe we can at least get the preliminary stage set up and kind of prioritize some of the issues that we want to address.
And then one more thing is on the going digital, going with electronics for packets, digital packets. I know he presented us with some information, but to me it makes more sense that we really do look seriously in moving that direction rather than paper.
And I think probably a good reference point would be the Lucianese Borough. I know they did have some, they liked the program, but there were some things that didn't work well for them, but they have probably adjusted that. I haven't spoken, I can speak to the mayor about it and just see what they've done to rectify some of the issues that they have, but they sure like their program, and I think it'll be a good thing for the city.
Yeah. I'm just looking at like the paper cost and the Shannon's cost of, you know, standing and copying and then driving around delivering, and you know, that's a lot of added up when she could just.
So is there like a direction the council wants the administrator or the administration to move forward as far as this electronic packaging?
Am I the only one thinking this direction?
No, I support it. I think it's I think there's a lot of labor savings and the paper, even down to the last minute, you know, pieces. kind of, you know, you're sitting here always shuffling it around trying to, yeah, as far as going back to when it's filed electronically, you can go back in previous meetings and, you know, and look at it. It's just easier to search it. It's just so much easier. I have a whole file cabinet of council packets.
Okay, I'm looking at the table research from the administrator. So is there direction the council wants the administration to go as far as implementing this program? Shirley, are you able to hear us?
Yeah, I'm curious for sure.
Yeah. I just had a little question. We all got these iPads or tablets to use, and they're for city business. Are there going to be restrictions on using them for personal use? People download games to them or use them for other stuff?
Yeah. Hi, Shirley. This is Andy. I think we talked about this in the workshop. That's where the city would have to adopt a policy and put it in the code, probably under the legislative portion. I know that's what the borough did. That's what other communities, we looked at one from Ketchikan when this idea first came up. Just to place restrictions and some guidelines around it to where it's, you know, there's no abuse. And, you know, Ketchikan's a good example of a public official that got caught with a lot of bad stuff on a public computer. So you definitely have to be... you know, write a policy, we work with the attorney to make sure the city's not liable for any sort of activities because this would be public property, but then the tablets would still remain property of the city and would just go in. But I guess my recommendation too is it's not everyone, if some do feel comfortable, some don't, you can start small and see how it works for a few council members, and if people want to stick with paper. Shannon probably doesn't want to print anymore, she has to, but that's a way to see how it would work out for a couple months. But I think a policy, you know, adopting some sort of technology policy would be in order.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
What would your recommendation be for what we would move forward with?
Well, I think number one, first of all, I would do a little research with Lucius Borough. We've been successful with theirs, and I think that would probably be a starting point. But if that's the direction the council wants to give the administration, I think, you know, we can move forward with that. It's just far as the direction.
We could easily talk to the you know, the borough staff in my office, and Shannon can have a conversation with the borough clerk here in town. See how it's worked out so far. Probably adopt maybe a similar policy. Look at adopting a similar policy. Just see what the issues are. We can talk about it, but I don't exactly know technology wise the book they use. It is probably not bad, but I don't know.
Do we have a technology policy for our employees?
I haven't seen one.
Well, at the same time, it might be a good idea to write a technology policy for the employees as well, just as a safeguard, because I know, like most companies anymore, have technology policies in place because of for their protection.
I think maybe between now and the next meeting, we could research that and just find out exactly what it takes as far as setting policies in place and just exactly what is in place.
It's almost over.
We hear you, Shirley.
I know, I'm sorry.
Do you have any comments?
I'm not alone anymore.
All right.
And my ear's getting tired.
Okay, all right.
I'm happy to research more. If you give me some direction, if you just want the technology, we could. I mean, the costs are basically there. You kind of decide what you want. I think most people are familiar with iPad. I'm not a salesman for Apple, though, so I don't really know, but you can just multiply it by 4, 5, 6 and kind of determine what the cost. And then compare that to the paper, printing, cartridges, toner, binders, Shannon's time, and that'll kind of give a cost comparison maybe on what
chasing us down to deliver the packets all around town, which she's really good at.
Okay, is there a council?
What kind of direction do you need it in a form of a motion, or do you just?
You can just give us. Yeah, I don't think we need
okay, I would like to see Andy.
Motion.
Do you want to do it in a motion?
If it's just, you know, research this further with the borough, maybe
we may
find
be
a policy
there for the next couple of meetings. Yeah.
I can do that.
Maybe in a motion.
Make a motion to move forward with digital packets and also looking into technology policy.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll put together my best.
Okay.
Sorry.
Is there a second?
Second.
Now in discussion.
I'll put together my best package of kind of what it might look like and then what a framework for the policy could be.
Okay. Council is comfortable with that? Question, please.
Grant?
Oh, Andy? Oh, Andy, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay, question, please.
Grant?
Yes.
Shirley?
No.
Alan?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion passes. Any other council comments? Hearing none, motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. Second.
Meeting is adjourned.